GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. This is the Newsmakers Hour. I am Rick in command and control. George is in his Florida studio. And George, you're on the PDQ Door telephone line with our friend in weed, who is a friend indeed. It's Paul McCarrier of the Maine Craft Cannabis Association. So you guys can have a chat on GHRT.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, sir. How you doing?
Well, I'm impressed that Rick either memorized your new title from your organization or he read it off the card. I'm not sure. I had to practice it. The Maine Cannabis Craft Cannabis Association. Have we got it right?
Now, Rick, George, why are you having issues remembering my title?
I probably haven't used your product.
Oh, I see. It's just it's sunny Florida. It has nothing to do with anything else, I'm sure.
Well, I'm looking out the window at a bright blue sky, but and the ocean. But that's the difference. I know that the Maine marijuana regulators are going to put together the medical marijuana program and get it in sync with the state laws. You can cover this for me this morning. Now, we're not talking about recreational marijuana, are we?
Correct. We're talking about the second largest industry in the state, Maine's medical cannabis market. And I have to remind you that we did over $250 million in sales in 2020, and we employ over 4,000 people in the state. So it's truly the sleeping dragon here in the state of Maine.
All right, I love your analogy. The Maine Medical Use of Marijuana Act has been with us for some time. And like every law that we pass, we get amendments. And they keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. So I know of at least, I'm told, 8 times the legislation has been revised since this whole thing passed in 2018. So let's go down through what needs to be done. Why is it necessary to do it?
Well, a lot of this is looking at making sure that our municipalities are empowered to have their home rule authority when it comes down to dealing with these new caregiver storefronts that are all across the state of Maine. I think there are a couple hundred of them now. Though the statute is very clear about their authorization for home rule, there is some concern that these municipalities don't have clear enough bumpers to be able to regulate the medical cannabis program. Well, some of these rules are good and some of these rules are necessary to be updating it according to changes in statute. Many of them are actually punishing towards Maine's small businesses. You know, we're talking about requiring tens of thousands of dollars of additional security improvements for thousands of registrants throughout the state of Maine, and that is something that's a burden that we really can't afford right now in the middle of this pandemic and economic crisis.
Well, that's the out that we always hear. We can't afford it now. The Maine Marijuana Policy Office, I know, has proposed some rules with the Secretary of State, who is now Shana Bellows, and it just can't happen overnight. There are things that are in our laws. We have to have public hearings. We have to have a written comment period. I've been through it many times myself. So I guess the date I'm looking at is March 22. Tell me why that's important. What's going to happen?
March 22nd is a very important date for anybody who's listening right now. It's going to be imperative that you sign up for your Zoom appointment with the Office of Marijuana Policy to make sure your voice is heard during this public hearing. They're also going to be accepting written commentary until April 1st at 5 p.m. And for anybody who is concerned about medical cannabis in the state, whether you're a business owner, you're an employee of a business owner, you're a contractor who works with one of these thousands of businesses across the state, or even if you're just a patient yourself, it's important that you make your voice heard to the Office of Marijuana Policy, because these laws, these rules that they're proposing, will drastically increase the cost of cannabis for patients across the state. And to be frank, that's something people can't afford right now. And again, just to be really forward with you, George, it's not like they can't get it somewhere else.
Oh, really? I heard that rumor.
You have no experience, of course.
When public comments are coming in, frequently they range all over the place, and I expect you'll get a lot. When the law was passed, there were something like 1,500 comments that came in. That
was just for the informal period, so we're expecting even more comments this time around. And we're thankful the Office of Marijuana Policy did take the time to do this informal response period, but we really feel like they didn't address a lot of these key issues. And I feel like the most important thing we're talking about right now is the fact that they're not basing any of these proposed changes off of data. They claim to be a data-driven department, but we're seeing zero data on how these additional application and license requirements will help to improve any of the conditions that they claim are a problem within the program. They haven't proven that we need to make any of these changes that they're offering in the program. We live in Maine. It's a very safe place, and there's a great patient access in this state, and we need to be a leader on this issue, and we need to be a leader nationally on this issue. We shouldn't be a follower.
All right, so let's line up where you should be going in the rulemaking process, and it's complicated. You want to protect the patient. You want to. All right, let's start with that. How do we protect the patient? What
well,
do we need
to protect the patient?
To
ensure that they have safe access. I'm sure you're familiar with the gateway theory about how people will be exposed to other drugs if they use cannabis. Well, the reality of that is that people are exposed to other drugs if they're buying them illegally. And so we don't want to have patients being forced into the illicit market based off of price. This is so much about the affordability of cannabis, George. It's not covered by insurance. We're talking about people who are on fixed incomes. We're talking about people who, you know, have other bills to pay. I mean, look at your CMP bill when you come back, and I think you'll be surprised. You might be need some cannabis after that. But we need to be able to protect these people's access, and the best way we can do that is through an affordable price.
Well, the rules were revised many times. When we're talking about public health and community safety and bringing the medical program into alignment with current law, that's
right,
why
so
we're doing
safety.
It. What is the alignment that needs to happen?
Well, that's part of the thing that we're looking at, is that there is no data to suggest there is actually any public safety issue happening right now. Obviously, some people might complain about the smell every so often, but I think what we're seeing is the fact that there is no data to support any of these abusive and harsh regulations. One thing, for example, George, is that if you want to be able to transport cannabis or deliver it to a disabled patient, you need to have a factory-installed car alarm on your vehicle. Who can afford a new car right now? Well, maybe you can, but the rest of us out here are still wondering, you know, maybe I can keep my 96 Ford Explorer on the road.
Well, mine has 150,000 miles on it, I'll tell you that. But go through some of the, you know, medical marijuana has been legal in Maine since when? Back in just before 2000, and with serious health concerns. We buy that. That's inevitable that it was going to happen. But then the Maine Medical Marijuana Act expanded quite widely to other illnesses. Some people think too wide.
Well, a lot of people might think that, or some people might think that it's too wide, but if you're looking at what you can prescribe every other drug for, I think we're seeing that cannabis is, in fact, a healthy alternative to a lot of things that are out there. And if we're looking at the side effects, cannabis has some of the least side effects. It has less side effects than ibuprofen. You know, I know you still do your workouts every day, and I'm still trying to convince you to try some of that CBD cream on your knee, which is federally legal. But when we're talking about safe access, we're trying to make sure that these patients can continue to get it through a legal manner. And we're also talking about the thousands of people that are employed by these local businesses. I mean, as both of you know, every time government raises the cost on a business, that cost is generally either passed on to the consumer, or in this case the patient, or the worker's going to take it on the chin. And we don't want to have our working people in the state of Maine right now who've been weathering this pandemic. And I need to remind you guys, a lot of these cannabis workers are frontline workers. They have been serving patients throughout this pandemic. We do not need to make their lives more difficult, and we also do not need to be able to raise the cost of, for these businesses so they can't get their just desserts.
Why, we have a lot of licensed dispensaries throughout the state. Do we have enough?
I think we can definitely use some more dispensaries, but currently what we've seen over the past 11 years is that the caregiver model has been the most successful because it is small, it is decentralized, and it's very diverse. And if I'm just going to follow the data, which the Office of Marijuana Policy, you know, keeps pushing, is that they want to follow the data supports a robust and expanding caregiver program.
Approximately how many people in Maine do you think are using medical marijuana? I'm not talking about recreational marijuana. What's the patient base?
I will bet you a hero sub and some cheese curds from Wisconsin, and I bet it's about 150,000.
So 150,000 Mainers who are using marijuana for medical purposes only. Is that your point?
That is my prediction. I think there are 150,000 Mainers that are using cannabis therapeutically. And I think it's important to remember that this is being used therapeutically. Well, it's called medical for, nomenclature and just to kind of make it easier for people to understand. It really is a therapy. In most cases, it won't necessarily cure something that you're dealing with, but it'll make a life a lot easier, and it'll make you able to deal with the symptom better than not having cannabis.
When you go into your doctor's office and you complain about whatever you're complaining about, and I've done that, you've done that, I've never had a doctor say to me, well, you ought to go smoke a joint.
Well, but have you ever brought up the fact that you're interested in trying a non-pharmaceutical alternative? Have you ever even, looked at, non-conventional medicine or non-Western medicine? Because that's what we're talking about right here. What we have seen, and I think you remember this from your coaching days, is 20 years ago, when I was actually a high school athlete, if you can believe that at one point, is the first thing that they would do is they'd offer you painkillers if you had any sort of pain issue or if you had an injury. We learned that that's actually one of the worst things you can do because how pain medication is highly addictive and has been very destructive towards our communities. So people have educated themselves, and I think a lot of practitioners who are outside of the large medical systems have also educated themselves to figure out that cannabis is an innocuous, low-impact, safe alternative for a lot of injuries and symptoms that people generally encounter here. So if you sprain your knee and you're going to have to stay off your knee for 3 weeks, do you want to be on OxyContin or do you want to be on cannabis? Let's look at the...
I don't want to be on either, to be perfectly honest with you. There's also ice and heat and restriction to use. There's also compression. I mean,
you're talking about rice right there. I mean, come on, George. This is the 21st century. We have a pill to solve everything.
Well, your pill is one I'm not using currently. Maybe I will someday. The Marijuana Policy Office is proposing rules with the Secretary of State, as I said. What rules now do we really need to put in place?
I think the rules that we need to put in place now is clarifying the opt-in portion of the medical cannabis law that makes it clear that if you want to have a manufacturing facility or a caregiver storefront or dispensary retail location within a municipality, the municipality has to have an affirmative vote either from its city council, if that's its style of government, or through its annual town meeting, through like a warrant article or through an ordinance. That is, I think, the most important update we need. Other than that, there's just some minor housekeeping things when we're talking about the number of plants that can be cultivated, the conditions that are covered, and I think most importantly, we need to actually adjust the rules to figure out how the department is tracking any sort of problems that the medical program is having so we can have a better analysis and our elected representatives can figure out what the actual problems are so we can address that through rules or legislation. But the biggest thing right now is data. We need to know what the data says, where the complaints are, and then we can address them in a collaborative fashion.
The public hearing is going to be on March 22nd. Now, this is going to be difficult because there are a lot of people chiming in. It's going to be a Zoom meeting. Public hearings are required by law. So are public comment periods. So this is going to be something you probably want to have your ducks in a row here before you get on the Zoom.
You definitely want to have your ducks in a row and make sure you have a reliable internet connection, because that's one of the problems in what the department is suggesting for rules, is that they want to make it where if you are in the medical cannabis program that you have to have a... you have to buy a software system that is internet reliant. And I think from what I've seen just from the limited public hearings that I've been involved with the legislature is we don't have the internet reliability to mandate, to force small businesses to purchase a software program that requires them to have high-speed internet. And that is one of the biggest problems with these rules, is the fact that they're going to try to require us to have a program that is internet reliant. I mean, there are some days where 9 p.m. comes, I want to kick back and watch my show. Well, you know what? Internet's not working, so thankfully I still got the DVD player.
Paul McCarrier, thank you for coming on, giving us a little information, and doing your usual sales job. I appreciate it very much.
George, I still have that knee cream for you, and again, it's federally legal, so you can find it down in Florida.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.